Wanted to let you know before we got started that we have a couple praises, but we also have a some sad news. But at the same time, it's glad news because it's a homegoing. Many of you know Jo Fair. She passed away yesterday unexpectedly, although she's been battling cancer. But this was something not related to that. So be praying for the whole family with that. And then Sharon Chambers said she has a couple praise. Her brother-in-law, Charles Hawkins, had the stents put in, and he's doing well. And her niece, Sierra, had gallbladder surgery, and she was also recovering. So we're grateful for that. And we're praying for those folks. Now, before we get into looking at the scripture, theme for the year is transformed, and last month we talked about transformed by prayer, so this month decided that we would look at transformed by grace, and so I decided to use the book of Jonah. I've never preached through the book of Jonah. I think most of us know at least the one story out of Jonah, and that is the fish story, but as I began to study, you'll see it in your notes there were two different commentaries that I used. They actually divided the book of Jonah the same way. And I wanted you to see this just so you know how some people are looking at the book of Jonah. Go ahead and put that up there, hon, if you would, please. Chapter 1 is running from God. Chapter 2 is running to God. Chapter 3 is running with God. And chapter 4 is running ahead of God. I started developing the series that way, and then I didn't like the way it was going, so I kind of trashed it and started something different. So what we're going to do is we're going to look, first of all, today at running away, which is kind of that theme. Then chapter 2 is crawling back. Chapter 3 is going to be second chance, and chapter 4 is misplaced anger. And we're going to hopefully talk about how Jonah was transformed by God's grace. As a result of that, we also are transformed by His grace. Now, what I'd like you to do, if you would, is to turn to the book of Jonah. You should see the page number there. It's page 774, if you picked up one of the Bibles back there, the book of Jonah. And I'm going to read the first 16 verses. We're going to spend most of our time here. We will be at one other scripture this morning, but most of our time will be here. So if you want to put a finger there and hold that, that would be good. So let's start with verse 1, and we're going to be talking about running away. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship and had into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep, which is kind of ironic. You know, here's this big storm. They're throwing things overboard. The only thing they haven't thrown yet is Jonah. And he goes down and he falls fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." Of course, you understand that they perceived that a storm like this was caused because someone had done some evil and they were being punished. Okay? So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is it that you have done?" for the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made great vows. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story. As we begin this series, I pray that you will help us to understand what it means to be transformed by grace. Help us to see through the life of Jonah the importance of trusting you, the importance of laying our lives in your hands and not running from you, not rebelling. And give us open hearts and open ears to hear today what you have for us. And I pray that you will draw us into your presence this morning. I pray for the family of Joe Fair and for Larry and the others and the children. I pray that your presence will be felt there. I thank you for Sharon's praise. And there are so many other folks on that prayer list, Lord, and we just pray that you will be with them in the way that they need you. If it's to heal, we pray that you will heal them, if that's what your will is. If it's just to come alongside them and give them encouragement, we pray that someone will be that vessel to do that. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for giving us this time to worship. And now I pray that as this message is brought, you will help me to step aside and that we will see Jesus and Jesus only. Because in his name I pray. Amen. I read a book recently called Eats with Sinners, and in it he told a story about a policeman who watched a little boy walk in circles around a square carrying a suitcase. Saw him once, saw him twice, and he finally decided to stop the little boy, and he said, "What are you doing?" The little boy said, "I'm running away." And he said, "Then why do you keep walking in circles?" And the little boy said, "That's because my mom told me I'm not allowed to cross the street without her permission." I can remember as a child telling my mom that I was going to run away. What I didn't understand is that she helped me pack. I'm not sure about why she was doing that, but I think all of us at one time or another can say probably as a child we thought I was going to run away. We didn't like what was happening. And maybe as a parent, your child says, "I'm leaving. I'm running away." And if you were like my mom, you said, "Here, I'll help you pack." That little boy is really a picture sometimes of us and our relationship with God. Jonah is a picture of us and our relationship with God, because in each one of us lurks a little bit of Jonah. And that's what I want to talk about over the next month, especially today as we begin and lay the foundation for this. There's a little bit of Jonah in each one of us, especially in this whole idea of running away from God and rebelling. God asks us to do something and we say, "No, not now," or "No, I won't be available." And so we find ourselves fighting God. I want to look at Jonah in this first chapter to find out about the life of Jonah and how he applies to us and why running away is not such a good situation. But let's first of all talk about the prophet's call. There's a quote here I want you to see. "To know Jonah is to love him. And the reason we love him is because he's much like us in our response to God's guidance." I have to agree with that. As I've already stated, there are times that we know that God is asking us to do something and we buck against it. We balk. We say, "No, I'm not going to do that. That's outside of my comfort zone." But in reality, we are we're faced with the challenge to be all that God calls us to be. Now, as we go through the book of Jonah, we're going to learn four things. These are four major themes going through. First of all, we're going to learn the danger of running from God. Then we're going to learn the deliverance that comes from submitting to God. Then we're going to learn the deliverance others will experience because we have submitted to God. And then we're going to learn the depression that comes when we fight against God's will. Those are the four chapters of Jonah, as you'll kind of gather as we go through. But let's talk about Jonah, first of all. If you have a Bible, I should say, since you have a Bible, go with me to 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. This is the first mention of Jonah. One of the questions that was asked me Wednesday night is, in our Route 66 study, is, are the books in order? The question is no. And this is one of the perfect examples where Jonah comes later on, the book of Jonah, but he's actually mentioned in 2 Kings. Chapter 14, I actually want to start with verse 23, but we'll highlight verse 25. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. He restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. Now, let's kind of look at that a little bit, because here's our first introduction to Jonah, mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14. Now, he's also mentioned, obviously, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. So we know that Jonah is a real person. This is not a made-up story. And you have to understand, there are a lot of people who want to say that the book of Jonah is nothing more than a fairy tale. But we have proof that Jonah is a real person, mentioned in 2 Kings and then also mentioned here. Now, the prophet Jonah served faithfully under Jeroboam II. Jeroboam, if you look there again at verse 23 or verse 24, it said, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was a wicked, evil, idolatrous, immoral king. And yet, in spite of all of that, we know from this scripture here that God expanded the borders of Israel, which is, it's kind of ironic. You would think that because of he was so evil that the borders would be closed in. But what he actually did is he expanded the borders against the mortal enemies of Israel, the Assyrians. But keep this in mind, it wasn't because of Jeroboam that he did it. It was because of Jonah. Jonah was God's faithful prophet. He was the son of Amittai. And so he expanded the borders against their mortal enemies, the Assyrians. One of the signs of a prophet, folks, and this is so important, especially in our day and age, one of the signs of a prophet is when they say something's going to happen, it's going to happen. It does happen. That's one of the signs of a prophet. There are a lot of people walking around saying they're prophets today. But when a prophet makes a prophecy, it happens. It may not happen right then, as we find out in the Old Testament from Isaiah and so on, but it does happen. Jonah's a prophet. He's from a little place called Gath-Hepher. Kind of a strange name, but that was a town 3 miles. It was in Galilee, 3 miles from a town called Nazareth. There was another Galilean born and lived in Nazareth. Who was that? Interesting, I think. But just as Jonah is relishing the hometown hero status, I guess you could say, that he is enjoying because the borders have been expanded, God rocks his world. Go to Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to spend the rest of the time here. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. There's a lot of stuff in that small verse. First of all, it is called a great city. The city of Nineveh was a large, populous, well-fortified city. It was the number one city, here we are, in Assyria. Who were the mortal enemies of the Israelites? The Assyrians. What's Jonah asked to do? He's asked to go into Assyria, where the mortal enemies are. And the Assyrians were known as cruel and violent people who did not take to anybody going against them. In verse 2, it says that it was a great city, and he was to call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Nineveh was also known as the Sin City. Kind of like one of our own cities, huh? And he was to call out against Nineveh. He was supposed to go into this cruel, violent city, a mortal enemy to himself, and he was to speak out. You know, you can look at that and go, oh boy. You know what strikes me, though? It's God's mercy, his love, and his grace. That he was willing to send his prophet into the mortal enemy territory because their sin was a stench to him. That's surprise number one. Hey, Jonah. You know, you're the hometown hero here. You're enjoying your status. I want you to pick it up, and I want you to go to Assyria. I don't know about you, but I've been going, are you sure? That's surprise number one. Surprise number two is the prophet's rebellion. I don't know how many of you have ever read Moby Dick. I have not read all of Moby Dick in just little parts. And to tell you the whole story would take too long. There is one section in there, though, that really is a good story. Herman Melville actually wrote Moby Dick, and it's got one of the largest and greatest stories of Jonah in non-biblical literature. But there's a story where Ishmael goes into the, it was called the Whaleman's Chapel. And as he goes there, there is an old harpooner there by the name of Mapple. He climbs a ladder up into the pulpit, and he begins to preach about Jonah. Listen to what he says. He said, I find God's instruction to be hard, or Jonah found God's instruction to be hard, a hard command. But all things God has us do are hard. Did you hear that? All things God has us do are hard. If we obey God, we must disobey ourselves. Because you see, sometimes God asks us to do things that say, I'm not used to this. This is totally against what I want to do. So we have to disobey ourselves to obey God. And then he goes on to say, and it is in this disobeying ourselves where the hardness of God and obeying God exists. In other words, it's sometimes hard to do what God says to do. But it's in doing what God says to do that we find our obedience to him, but disobedience to ourselves. Now hang in there with me. Don't lose me yet. Jonah's problem. Here it is. Jonah's problem was obeying God's command. Jonah's problem was obeying God's command to go to Nineveh. So what does he do? Verse 3. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah finds out what we should know. You can run, but you can't hide. Now, I don't know what was running through Jonah's mind, like, I'm going to get away from the presence of the Lord. I mean, he's been serving God as a prophet. How in the world he thinks he's going to get away from the presence of the Lord, I will never know. But it's interesting what Jonah does. God asked Jonah to go east to Nineveh, 500 miles. It's about a three-week trip by caravan. Jonah goes the opposite direction and gets on a boat to Tarshish. Tarshish is a little fishing village on the Atlantic side of Spain, a year and a half travel by boat through the Straits of Gibraltar. Clueless? But you see, when you're trying to run away from God, what do? You try to find the farthest place to go. Instead of following where God said to go, and that is to go just a short distance, 500 miles, to get to Nineveh, Jonah says, not me. I'm going to find the farthest place on the planet. And as far as he knew, it was Tarshish. He paid the fare, got on the boat, and he was getting out of the presence of the Lord. So he thought. By the way, that's not a 3 week, it's a 3 month by caravan. I'm sorry. But there's a Jonah that lurks in every one of us. That's what's scary to me. Because there are times that God wants me to do and to follow, and I say, no. I don't have the time. Not the right time of the year. I got other plans. And so there's a disobedience that I have my own agenda. God hasn't quite agreed with that agenda. And he says, I want you to go here. And I say, no. You ever been there? But God puts the brakes. Just like in this case, he brings up a giant storm that is so great that even these hardened mariners were afraid. Sometimes God has to do that to us. Sometimes he breaks us with our health. Sometimes he breaks us with a job. Sometimes he breaks us with a difficulty in our family or in our own life. Because what he wants us to do is not to do what Jonah did. He wants to stop us before we get there, drive us to our knees, so that we're looking at him and saying, whatever you want, Father, I will do. Well, let's continue on with the story. The Lord hurled great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, and these mariners were afraid, and each one of them cried out to his God. So that kind of tells you that these Gentile pagans had a whole lot of gods. They began to cry out to their God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it. That's a normal practice, that when a storm comes up, they lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. And the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise and call out to your God. Now, I don't know at this point if they knew who his God was, but everybody was calling out to a God. So, you know, the better, the more the merrier. So he comes up and they begin to cast lots. Find out why this has come on them. As I mentioned earlier, a storm like this led them to believe that some evil was involved somewhere. Someone had done something and they were being punished, and they were all being punished, and they cast lots and it came on Jonah. And then they said, tell us, and you could see the questions. And then Jonah tells them, I am a Jew and I fear God. And oh, by the way, I'm running away. Now, we don't have that right here, but somewhere along the line he had told them, I am fleeing from God. And they looked at him and said, what is this that you have done? That's not a question, that's an exclamation. It's kind of like, how in the world could you have done this? Well, I didn't want to do what he wanted me to do. So I ran. So, verse 7, they cast the lots, and verse 11, he tells them, or they said, well, what are we supposed to do? And he says, throw me into the sea. Well, you know, they probably wanted to do that, but before they did that, verse 13 said, they rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not. for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. So as they were making an attempt to get back to land, the storm grew greater. They only had one choice. Go for a swim, Jonah. And it's interesting to me that the God-fearer, the Israelite, was running away from God. The Gentile pagans acknowledged God. You see what it says here? O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay on us his innocent blood, for you've done as it is pleased for you, and we're tossing him overboard. Don't hold that against us. But as soon as they did that, the sea calmed down. But then verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. There are three truths I want you to see as I bring this to a close. Number one, you cannot outrun God. You cannot outrun God. The old saying, you can run, but you can't hide. You cannot outrun God. You can try it, but it's futile. Number two, God's mercy is massive. God's mercy is greater than we could ever dream. Not only is it merciful in sending Jonah to the Ninevites, and we're going to pick up on that in chapter 3 especially, but it's merciful and magnificent when it comes to Jonah, because all God would have had to do is go, beep, I'll find somebody else. But it wasn't somebody else that he wanted. He wanted Jonah. So God's mercy was so great that when Jonah said, I'm not going your way, God gathered him up and through a series of events brought him to himself. And we're going to talk about that next week. But then there's the third one, and this is so important for us. The storm isn't punishment. It's an intervention. So many times we think that when something goes wrong, what's happening? We're being punished. The storm isn't a punishment, it's an intervention. In Jonah's case, it was to liberate Jonah from Jonah. It was to free Jonah from himself. It was to get Jonah to understand, Jonah, do what I say. Don't run away from me. I have a message for you to take. And when we go through a tough time, no matter what it is, our first reaction is, why? The second reaction is, okay, what did I do wrong? The storm isn't punishment. In Jonah's case, it's an intervention. In our case, it is often the same thing. It's God is trying to get our attention to stop us from making some really stupid mistakes, to bring us back to himself, to stop us from running away and saying, I'm going to do this on my own. And then we watch our life crash and burn because we decided to turn our back on a faithful father and say, I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to run to Tarshish. So here's my challenge for you as I bring this to a close. I'd like to ask you, read the book of Jonah. If you read a chapter today and you read it till next Sunday, you will have read the book of Jonah twice. It's only four chapters there. If you take the time to read it all month long, I want you to do something as you read. I want you to ask God to help you see the mirror that's there so that the mirror shines back on you. I've been living with this book for almost a month and a half, and I'm learning some new stuff every time I work on a sermon. And I don't like it. It's getting kind of annoying, you know, because it's like God saying, see this part here? Just turn the screw a little bit more. But he's putting the mirror, and he's showing me that there are times, in this case, that I turn my back and I say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to run away. And somehow I think I could get away from the presence of God. You cannot escape the presence of God. So I'm going to pray, I'm going to ask you that as you read, before you even open the Bible or you open it up to Jonah chapter 2 or chapter 3 or 4, you say, God, shine the mirror on me. Shine the mirror on me. And then here's what I want you to ask two questions. Ask yourself these two questions. Number one, who are the Ninevites in your life? Who are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Those are Ninevites. Those are giants. Those are the things that are making us afraid to keep on moving. What are the Ninevites in your life? The second question is this. Who or what is the Tarshish to which you are escaping? Who are the Ninevites? And what are you escaping to? What are you trying to run from? And what are you running to? Application simple. There are people who are running from this, and they're running to alcohol. They're running from this, they're running to drugs. They're running from this, and they're running to sex. They're running from this, and they're running to. What I'm asking you to do is ask you two questions. What am I running from, and what am I running to? What am I running from? And what am I running to? And if you open up the book of Jonah and you begin to ask yourself, God, show me the mirror, put it on me, and then show me what I'm running from and show me what I'm running to, I promise you, he will do it. But then, when the storm comes, it's not punishment. It's intervention. And when God begins to intervene in your life, you begin to say, oh, now I see. He begins to make changes. And you begin to say, God, I repent of that. Forgive me for that. Draw me to you. What are you running from? What are you running to? Let's pray. And Father, I pray that as we study this book, that you will open it up to us. Help us to see that Jonah, there's a little bit of Jonah that lurks in each one of us. You've called us to forgive and we won't forgive. You've called us to love and we won't love. You've called us to work together. We won't work together. You've called us to purity. We won't be pure. You've called us to holiness and we won't do that. And there's so much of Jonah that lurks in so many of us. I pray that you will help us to turn the mirror of your word onto our life and just simply say, where am I turning? What am I turning to? What am I running from and what am I turning to? Every one of us need to ask those questions. And I pray that you will work in our hearts to show us that. You are a God who is greater and stronger and more powerful than we can ask, think, or imagine. You've showed it in Jonah's life, even with the storm, but you will continue to show it in our life as well. Help us to honor you with that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing this song. It's going to be the last song we're going to sing this morning. It's a challenge song that you will understand that God is big. Okay?